the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. We welcome those of you that are watching online. Those of you that have tuned in, we thank you for being with us tonight and receiving the word of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him I'm expecting something good tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want. It's good to keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagen in prayer as they're out doing these kinds of meetings, and so we want to keep them in prayer because, you know, prayer helps. It is powerful. It is powerful. It reaches all the way to Michigan from Oklahoma. Amen. Actually, it goes up and then back down, you know. You know, you understand what I mean by that? And so if you're wondering what you can do to help, pray. Believe God. Amen. And so I want to encourage you along those lines to pray. And, sometimes one of the things that happens in our lives is we get in contact with people who have real needs. And you just don't know when you're needed to pray. And so you need to be like the soldier that I heard that was in the army. And so he had a habit of going out and after dark and praying, yeah, kind of away from everybody. And so one night, dark, and he was out there praying, and the guard was walking, and he saw someone out there, didn't know who it was, and he commanded him to stop. And he wanted to know what he was doing. The guy said, "I'm out here praying." And the guy pointed his gun at him and said, "You better start praying now." And the guy dropped on his knees and started praying now. And the guard looked at him. He says, "Okay, I believe you." And he said, "You can go back to bed now." But you understand, there's a need to pray sometimes. You ought to get used to praying. When the tests come, it's too late to learn how to pray. Amen. And so you have to learn to pray, not just when you have big needs, but when there's something little comes up. Be quick to pray. Be quick to look to God and say, "God, I'm giving you this. I'm sending this request up to you." John Osteen, the great preacher that pastored Lakewood before Joel Osteen's pastoring it now, but he said this. He said, "Most people wait till their barrel's just a little bit below or down almost to the bottom of the barrel before they start praying." He said, "I don't wait." He said, "If it drops just a little below full, I'm already hollering and calling upon God." Said, "Fill my barrel." And so sometimes we're just too slow to pray, and sometimes we get our own crisis because we just didn't ask when we could have. And so let's be quick on the draw in prayer. And so I just wanted to exhort you just a little bit about that. And because prayer makes such a difference. Prayer's powerful. Prayer's necessary. Prayer's possible. Amen. So anyway, really that's not what I wanted to minister on tonight, but it just seemed like the Lord wanted me to kind of exhort a little bit along that. But I want to share something with you tonight. Hopefully I'll make sense out of what I want to say. I'm praying that the Lord will give me the utterance to be able to share it in a way that you'll be able to understand where I'm coming from. I know what I mean. Do you understand? But you know, it's another thing. And you know, when God speaks to me, I know what he means. But it's another thing to take what I hear and communicate it in such a way that people understand it. And so that's my prayer tonight. And so let me just give my best shot here at this. Earlier in the year, we had lots of rain. And, you know, floods and the roads were closed and the reservoirs were challenged to contain the water. And people had to deal with unusual problems because of an outpouring of rain, an abundance of rain. And as I looked at that, I pondered. I said, "Now, Lord, do you want me to get up and rebuke the rain? Or what is it that you're trying to, you know, what is my role in this?" And I didn't get any leading whatsoever other than just in my heart, I heard a couple of things. And this is what I heard. And this is true about outpourings in the natural and outpourings in the spirit, of the spirit. And said outpourings aren't always easy to deal with. Outpourings challenge the current capacity of things. Outpourings upset life as usual. Outpourings overflow regular sized containers. Outpourings tend to control life and dictate new ways of doing things. And I thought, that's interesting. I thought sometime I'd like to preach on that. And so, you know, sometimes when you have an outpouring of rain and it's excessively wet, then there, it dictates certain things have to be done differently than when it's dry. And, you know, different things happen in the natural. My grandfather was a man about this tall, somewhere in there. I'm taller than him, so we're gaining on it. And he was a feisty kind of guy, you know. And he loved fishing, especially in his older years. And so one day he and my two youngest brothers jumped on the little Ford tractor and the trailer, and they went out down through the pasture down towards the creek, and they came upon some guys that were in a pickup truck, and they were down in a little draw, down in a low spot, and it was very muddy because it had rained, and their truck is stuck. So they're asking Grandpa, can you get us out? And Grandpa had this bumper fixed on the front of his tractor. He said, I'll get you out. And so he eased down in there and up against the front bumper of the pickup truck. But you know, it's muddy, it's slick. And he just sat there and spun. And the first thing he knew he's almost stuck himself. And so now he has to try to get himself out. And so he kind of works around a little bit, and he kind of backs up a little ways. And Grandpa, if you knew him, you'd know this. He's a very determined man. And so he backs up and he sees that he can get out. So no problem. He's not worried about himself at all. But the pickup truck is still stuck. And so he gets this idea. And so all of a sudden he puts it in forward gear, rips the throttle open and pops the clutch and yells, I'll get you out. And wham, the tractor shot forward, hit that truck on the front bumper, shoved it up on the high ground, and Grandpa finally got his tractor stopped, and the guys got out of the truck and sadly looked at the big dent on the front bumper. Said, you didn't have to do that. Sometimes things happen when it's muddy and when it's wet because there's been an outpouring in the natural. And I'm going to tell you, things happen when there's an outpouring of the Spirit. So I want to encourage you with that. And so recently, we had some unusual amounts of rain here in August. I've known plenty of years in Oklahoma when there wasn't hardly any rain in August. And as I, again, I'm like, I'm enjoying this. And I'm thinking, this is wonderful. And I heard these words on the inside, unusual outpourings. And I'm like, immediately sensed the Lord trying to say something to me. And so I began to meditate upon that, those words. And I realized that there are times when things happening in the natural show us of spiritual truth, or they alert us to something that God wants to do in the spirit. And so there are plenty of scriptures along these lines. A couple of them would be Joel chapter 2, verse 23 through 27. And you have a comparable scripture over in Zechariah 10, verse 1. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now, we look at that, and we know that spiritually speaking, that is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out, and the Spirit-filled life, and we think, yes. But you understand that some of the things that happened to Israel in the natural were signifying of spiritual things that would happen in the church age. And he goes on and he says, "The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." And so then you could also look at this scripture in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 7 through 8. Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 through 8, you can see again where Jesus referred to natural things so that we could use natural things to find out where we're at in God's timetable in these last days. He said, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." And then he says in the next verse, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." In other words, we're approaching the great tribulation period. And so you see natural things that God uses to alert us along the lines of showing us what it is that he's trying to do or getting ready to do. And we need to be spiritually alert people so that we can flow with him and be prepared in these last days, instead of looking around and being shaken by the events and by getting into fear, but begin to draw close to God and be able to follow him. Amen. So look at one more, James chapter 5, verse 7, that will show that God sometimes uses natural events to alert us of spiritual things that he wants to happen. Verse 7, James chapter 5, verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." See there in the natural, look at the farmer. Then he says, "waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." But he compares that, the farmer waiting for the early and latter rain, to the coming of the Lord. So there are plenty of scriptures to show us that in the natural, you know, that God uses natural things to alert us to spiritual things. Now, let me just tell you this. There are times when natural events are happening, when it's clearly the enemy, and God wants us to take authority of those things. Amen. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. And you got to stand up and use the name of Jesus and address it, and the authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus, and not take no for an answer. Put the devil in his place and tell him to stop his evil work. Not going to twist or pervert the weather or anything like that. Natural events in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, but then there's times when the Lord uses natural events to alert us on some things. Now, I'm not talking about like one religious man did after a tornado went through the area. He said, "It's good to know that God is still speaking to us." I'm not talking about God trying to to use a tornado to speak to you. I'm talking about seeing things, you know, God showing you things in the middle of, like he did in the unusual rains that were coming in August. He said, you know, that didn't hurt anybody. That helped everybody. But then God used it and he said, unusual outpourings. And it got me to thinking about this, that the church began with an unusual outpouring. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, in the Amplified Version, it makes this statement, Acts chapter 2, verse 33, it says, being therefore lifted high by and to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised blessing, which is the Holy Spirit, he has made this outpouring, which you yourselves both see and hear. In the beginning of the church, there was an unusual outpouring. It says in Acts chapter 2, it's recorded, verses 1 through 11. And I'll read the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Have you ever heard that wind? It's an awesome sound. It's an awesome sound. Nothing quite like it. And it says it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it was unusual. People had never seen anything like it. And the multitudes that had gathered in Jerusalem were astounded and watched these these disciples speaking in other tongues. They heard them speaking in languages that they did not know. And so they accused them of being drunk. And Peter said, they are not drunk as you suppose, but they said, seeing it's early in the day, but I'm paraphrasing this. He said, but he indicated that this is a new wine. This is from heaven. Amen. And so then he began to quote the prophet Joel and referred back to when Joel spoke of that time right there of this outpouring. But it's an interesting thing that Joel said and that Peter also reiterated. I want to pick it up in verse 16. Look in verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. It shall come to pass when the church begins. Is that what it says? It shall come to pass in the early days of the church. Is that what it says? It shall come to pass throughout the book of Acts. Is that what it says? What does it say? Last days. Are we in the last days? So you see the scriptures talking about us in the day that we're living in. It's wonderful to look back and see an outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. Isn't that good? That's shouting ground. But I want to tell you something. I just discovered that there's something happening in my day that's shouting ground. There's an outpouring of the Spirit of God promised in my day. Not just in Peter's day, but in my day. Not just in the time of Paul, but in our time. He goes on and he begins to describe this particular outpouring. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says there, these last days. The Jewish people understood that reference to refer to the time of the coming of the Messiah. And indeed, in the time of the coming of the Messiah, there were some things, some mighty things that happened when Jesus hung on that cross. When Jesus hung on that cross, the weather patterns were severely disturbed. And unusual things happened. Things that in the natural happened that got people's attention. But I want to tell you something. There's a soon coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to be split in the sky, and he's going to be coming. There'll be a trumpet sound. And in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be caught up with him. And those who already have passed away shall be caught up with us. And we shall be with him forever, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you something. Its time is coming. Why? Because the signs. Peter's talked about it. It's in the last days. The outpouring of the Spirit. It's here. The outpouring of the Spirit has happened. It's been pouring out and pouring out. Now I know this. From time to time, I don't know that I need a special, unusual outpouring every day from heaven. But I want to tell you something. There are times from time to time that I'm going to need an unusual outpouring from heaven. Why? Because I live by faith. But you know, there's a mighty Spirit of God that is our helper. He's coming alongside to bring us through into the things that have been promised by God Almighty in His Word. And though we, as we appropriate these things by faith, the Holy Spirit moves into action and He comes forth to perform that which has been written. And He said, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I don't know about you. I got started in Spirit-filled things back in the Charismatic Renewal when there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I got into the things when there was the outpouring of the teaching of the Word. And I got into these things when there was an outpouring of joy and the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you something. I'm ready to get into another outpouring. I don't know about you, but you ought to get yourself stirred up and start telling God, I'm ready for another outpouring. I'm ready for another outpouring. I'm ready for the Spirit of God to move again in demonstration and power and might and to come forth with unusual things. I'm ready for some unusual things. My life might get upset. It might not be business as usual. My current capacity to understand things might be strained, but just bring it on. We'll deal with it when it comes. Glory to God. Come on now. Hallelujah. I'm just about happy. You say, well, you know, you need that to get something going. That's why they had that in the book of, you know, in Acts chapter 2. I agree. You need a supernatural move of God to get things moving. But I want to tell you something. From time to time, you need a supernatural outpouring of God's Spirit to keep things moving. Because you see, in Acts chapter 2, they had an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And 3,000 people got saved. If you go two chapters more over, Acts chapter 4, I don't know what the time period was there. But they got threatened. People were unhappy. Religious people were unhappy. And threatened them. And the apostles came back. Peter and John came back to their own company. We could stop and preach a series right there. But you understand, they got together and began to pray. And they called upon God and began to tell him that they believed he was a great God. A God of heaven and earth. And how that he could do mighty things. And they called upon him to stretch forth his mighty hand to heal. and to show wonders. And it says the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. That tells me that however great your initial experience was in being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're going to need it again. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're going to need it again. Because you see, you're either going to minister out of what's been given to you, or you're going to sit on it and it'll drain quietly out the bottom of your shoes. Because we're leaky vessels. We're designed to be that way. We're designed to be dispensers, not just containers. And I don't know about you, I got to get filled. Individually, I call upon God, so fill me up. Just like your car, just because you put gas in it when you bought it doesn't mean you don't have to stop at the gas station again. Wouldn't that be sad if you sat beside the road and somebody says, well, you're out of gas. Well, I don't understand that. I bought gas when I bought the car. That's sad, isn't it? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know anybody like that. Thank God. But we know Christians that sitting there on the pew. Well, I got baptized Holy Ghost when I got saved, and I don't know how come. I'm just so dry, and I'm just so hard, and I just so difficult, and you know, just look around, and it's just so fearful. I just have to close my eyes, and you know, I just want to go find me a cave, and I just hope I have enough food to last out, and hope this stuff passes away, and the Lord comes quickly. No, listen to me. When those kind of feelings come, that's a good sign you need to get filled up again. Because you know what happens when you get filled up again? You're more conscious of that which you're filled up with than you are your surroundings. Did you know the car gets filled up with gas, and it doesn't matter whether it's going through the countryside, it doesn't matter whether it's in the city, it doesn't matter whether it's up the hill, down the hill. You know why? Because the fuel is there to keep going. And now, you know, I'm amused that sometimes at Christians, oh, I don't know, I'm just trying to avoid some trouble. I just hate it when trouble comes. I just hate it when trouble comes. I'm telling you, folks, don't be afraid of trouble. Stomp on it in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, put it in its place. Look it right square, dead, you know, dead on, and just tell it, bring it on. Because when we hit, you'll be on the bottom and I'll be on the top. You can't be afraid and walk by faith. I know that's profound. I know you've never heard that. Right. But sometimes we need to hear it again. We need to get filled. We need outpourings from the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. What you read in the Bible ought not be a history lesson. Or just a history lesson. Thank God it happened back there. But I want to tell you something. I look at that and I read that and I say, now in my day, I want that. I read where the sick got healed and the lame walked and the lepers were cleansed and the blind saw and the deaf heard and, you know, and the multitudes were fed and you know, all of that and people were translated from one place to another and people walked on water and it just wasn't a problem. And in my day, we want that. We need outpourings. So what does it mean then? Acts chapter 10, you can look at another place. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. We're not going to really go there. But it says that the Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon Cornelius and his household. In the Greek where it says fell, the word, the idea there that's conveyed is that the Holy Spirit seized them with affection. How would you like that? The whole outpouring of the Spirit of God, where the Holy Ghost just got so in love with what was happening and just seized you with affection and just poured himself out all over you. Woo! I want to be like Gideon. You know, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. Actually, in the Hebrew, it actually indicates this, that the Spirit of God clothed Gideon. I don't know about you, but I want to get clothes from on high. I'm telling you, these earthly things, you know, sometimes just ain't got it. And I see people get filled with the Spirit, outpouring of the Spirit, and they stand up and do things that are far beyond the norm. They walk in boldness, and when others are scared, they're standing strong. Whoo, glory to God. What do? Do we just beg and hope and plead? Oh, God, please. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures that'll tell you some things. Here's what the psalmist said. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. What does that mean? That means this. Listen to me. I've had people tell me, oh, I trust God. I got all the faith in the world. I've had them tell me that. But they never seek God. They never go in the closet and pour out their heart to God until there's tears coming out of their eyes. And they never call upon God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. Pour out and say, God, we got to have this. We are needy people. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. If you don't ever seek God and get on your face and seek God, I don't know how much you really trust God. I'm just challenging you tonight. The psalmist said he trusted God and he poured out his heart to him. There's something about a close fellowship with God that stirs up faith in you. And the ability to trust him and believe outpourings. If it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen right here where I'm at. Because I've called upon the name of the Lord. I've cried tears before him. I've sought him with all my heart. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23. You may not want to write this one down. I doubt seriously whether any of you will put it on your refrigerator. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour out my Spirit upon you. You know, I thought God was a good God. Yes, he's good enough to tell you when you're wrong. He's good enough to let you know the bridge is out ahead of you. He's good enough to let you know the danger that's ahead in the road that you're taking. He's good enough to correct you when you need it. Turn at his rebuke. Don't get mad about it. Don't get sad about it. Don't get offended. Turn. Repent. Change your mind. And come to him. And he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. God, I want to tell them about you. I sometimes get upset at people. And I look at the politicians and I look at this and I look at that. And, man, and then I think about myself and say, oh God, I repent for what I'm doing. God, I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I'll just point all my fingers at me, not instead of one at the others. God, help me. Help me. I want to be the one. If you're going to pour your Spirit out upon anyone, I want it to be upon me. If you're going to pour it out upon anywhere, I want to be the place where you pour out your Spirit. Turn at my rebuke. And I will pour out my Spirit upon you. I will make my words known unto you. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain. Get in your prayer closet. Call upon his name. It's not just this asking one time, say, oh Lord, please send the rain. Thank you. Amen. I'm not talking about the spirit the prayer of faith. I'm talking about a spirit of intercession and spirit of supplication, calling upon God with a request that it seems like your whole life depends upon it. And it's like Hezekiah turning his face to the wall, and he tuned out everything else and said, I've got to have some help from heaven. I know you said I'm going to die, but I'm calling upon you, and I'm asking you for that which I don't deserve, that which you said I wasn't going to get, but I'm calling upon you. Out of your great mercy, would you pour out again upon me the healing that I need? And God stopped the prophet in the middle of walking out of the palace, sent him back and said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I want to tell you something. There are times when it looks as if you look across the land and it looks like, you know, God ought to judge this nation and just scorch this nation really, really good. But I wanted you to know something. Have mercy, Lord. Pour out your spirit once again. Unusual outpourings here on earth. We've seen that. We want unusual outpourings in the spirit. Stand with me. I don't know whether I expressed what I feel. I might leave you with another thought. Let me tell you something. You can't buy a move of the Spirit of God. But I will tell you this. You can stand in the middle of an outpouring of the Spirit of God and not get any personal benefit from it if you're not right. If you're not right with God. I found an interesting verse as I've studied this. And this is a thought-provoking thing. You don't buy it. But let me tell you something. God said... He said this. He said, bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord, storehouse. And he said, I will pour out a blessing upon you that you won't even be able to contain. I want to tell you, there's people standing in the middle. I saw it in the outpouring of the charismatic renewal. They said, well, now, I don't know why the Spirit of God would bless you. I don't know how come I didn't get anything. Well, my friend, listen to me. Personal things... Every person is responsible for turning to God, believing and receiving this move of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands up one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Sing it. I know we're in one sense we don't have time, but I just sense this. Sing it. Just kind of start singing it. Let's worship the Lord with it.
Oh, hallelujah. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
atmosphere. Come on.
Your glory,
come on now.
God, is what
we need it.
Our hearts long for.
We need it.
To be overcome.
Unusual outpourings.
By your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Sing it, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Come on, sing it.
Of your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. And Holy Spirit,
worship
you.
You
are welcome.
Yes, call upon you.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Flood.
Your glory,
floods,
God, is
floods
of
spiritual things,
spiritual outpouring,
floods.
Your presence,
yes,
Lord.
Pour out upon this place, upon our heart, in this building,
come
upon these people.
This place and fill the
yes, Lord.
Your glory,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here we are.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
We put our trust in you. We turn at your rebuke. We repent. And we ask for the rain. Spiritual rain. Flood this place. Flood our hearts. Flood our minds. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Hallelujah. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as you draw near and call upon my name, so it shall be that an audience will be granted to you and you shall be heard. And that which comes from the depth of your heart, and oh, that which your soul has been consumed with, and as it comes before me, wrapped in the trust and the faith that you have out of a pure heart, so it shall be received. And oh, 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 the floods of goodness from heaven to earth will flow, and you shall see that which has been written. So come, draw near to me and call upon me. Let your heart be pure before me, and come and ask me, and I will give you the rain, says the Lord. Once more, lift your hands. Say, thank you for the rain. Spiritual rain. Spiritual floods. Spiritual outpourings. Unusual outpourings. Signs and wonders and miracles and mighty things. Things far beyond the earthly way and earthly possibilities. Let it be. Let it flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the joy shall rise up, and then it shall overflow your soul. And that joy which you have been looking for, that which you have longed for, the sadness that has been at your house for oh, this long, it shall be lifted, and you shall rise above the circumstances that have contained you, trapped you, snared you, and you'll be able to walk in freedom. And you'll be able to walk on top of the things that once held you captive. And you'll be able to walk in the newness of life and in the wonderful things. And you shall not look to the left and to the right with longing eyes and wonder why they are so blessed, because you'll know they got it the same way that you did. calling upon the name of the Lord. It's pouring out your heart. Pouring out your heart until there's nothing there except the pureness and the goodness and holiness that you have been created in. And there shall be such joy. Hallelujah. 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 Look at your neighbor, say, I'm on my way. Outpourings are coming. And I'm going to be in on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I went up just a few minutes over. I apologize in one sense and in another. I don't. It's okay.